You know those pretty streaks of greenhouse gases airplanes trace across the sky? New global limits are on the way. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's news the aviation industry has agreed to limits on emissions as proposed by the United Nations. This will be the first set of global rules to reduce what comes out of jet engines and the way the governments regulate cars, trucks, factories. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer says the limits are seen as a first step.
The new standards come from the UN's International Civil Aviation Organization. The White House says the standards are expected to cut carbon emissions by more than 650 million tons. The UN says the new emission standards will take effect in 2023, and it recommends that aircraft manufacturers not be allowed to make a plane that doesn't meet the standards after 2028. The new standards still have to be approved by each country that belongs to the International Civil Aviation Organization. Some environmental groups say the new rules aren't tough enough. They want the U.S. to implement stricter standards, but the aviation industry just wants one worldwide standard. The U.N. says aviation now accounts for under 2% of the world's carbon emissions, but the number of international passengers and flights is expected to double by 2030.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer. From the stock market to the job market, where the government today releases its tally of job openings, layoffs, and those who voluntarily quit to find perhaps something better, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The number of people laid off every month has long since returned to pre-recession levels. Job openings and new hires have been rising steadily. Kim Gottschalk at the staffing firm Accounting Principles says the market's tight for employers.
We're going to tell them to act fast when they find people. Skilled talent is very difficult to find right now.
One labor market indicator that hasn't fully recovered yet is the quits rate. It reveals how willing workers are to leave their current job and look for something new. Andrew Chamberlain at the online job site Glassdoor says there are psychological scars here.
When people go through a traumatic experience following a recession and have long unemployment spells, especially when they're young and just entering the labor force, there's no question these things change behaviors for years down the road.
Surveys find many Americans still fear being laid off and are loath to take risks, like moving cross-country for better job prospects. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Student protests continue over the cultural climate on American campuses. Among the many student demands is a greater commitment to faculty diversity. In this country, only about 4% of full-time professors are Black, 3% are Hispanic. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports on how one university is trying to change those proportions.
Keisha Allen is about to appear before the entire education department at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, to give a talk on her research. She squeezes in some last-minute practice with a faculty mentor.
I want to share two papers that I've been working on recently. The first is a paper that examined the racial literacy of a Black male teacher.
After she finishes, Professor Mavis Sanders snatches Allen's notes and asks her to do it again.
So I don't think you need this. I think you need to just be comfortable.
That was my first time practicing, and so I don't feel comfortable.
The ink has barely dried on Allen's doctorate from Teachers College in New York. She's at UMBC on a two-year postdoctoral fellowship for faculty diversity. It's designed to develop a new generation of professors from underrepresented minorities. Sanders, Allen's mentor, says the transition from grad student to assistant professor is partly psychological.
You have to sort of own that identity that now you are the expert. And it just takes practice.
At UMBC, more than half of the students are non-white, but just 7% of the faculty is Black and 2% Hispanic. Edward Glover, president of the Black Student Union and a senior math major, says he hasn't encountered a single Black professor in his department.
I've been a believer that the faculty should try to be reflective of the student body, which I don't think it's there yet.
There are many reasons for that. Fewer students of color earn PhDs. Biases, often unconscious, can plague the faculty hiring process and drive professors of color who do get hired to leave. Tyson King-Meadows co-chairs a committee on faculty diversity at UMBC.
the purpose of the program is to get them prepared for the professoriate and for them to understand all the nuances of being a faculty member of color or of particular gender.
Part of that is building confidence. And now it's time for Keisha Allen to give her talk without notes.
Broadly, my research looks at how identity, race, and culture influences teaching and learning.
This time, she's more relaxed, even professorial.
I think that I did an okay job.
She'll spend the rest of her fellowship honing her research and teaching skills before, she hopes, landing a tenure-track job. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
On Marketplace's PM program later today, we look at this effort in Baltimore to promote a more diverse faculty by also reforming the recruiting and hiring process. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Jong. Our engineer this week is Daniel Ramirez. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.